What's it take to touch your heart? And in Hebrews 4, I think it's 15, Jesus is easily touched with the feeling of your infirmities. He is very sensitive to you. The slightest thing, he is like dialed in, tuned into you. And his heart's touched. Now, sometimes you can be around people and maybe you're hurting and no one seems to notice, but Jesus does. He's touched with the feeling of our infirmity, and he understands you. He's a merciful and faithful high priest. And the revelation of Jesus as high priest was what was given to strengthen them, and that was coming out through that whole book. But up in chapter 9, then there's like a conclusive thought. Seeing we have such a great high priest, let's draw near a true heart of faith. Let's hold fast the profession of our faith. And let us not forsake the assembling together, but all the more so as we see the day coming that we provoke one another to love and good works. And I need to stress this again, that we have to be in the love realm. Otherwise, you get your eyes on yourself, which will undermine faith in your life. Because, yeah, I mean, there's one thing, you needing faith for you, but when you need your faith for other people around you, it takes you to a whole another level. And love necessitates that. I remember when I'd come out of the hospital there and needed a lot of help. And Hank Donna, he started feeling like COVID symptoms. And she says, Lord, I can't have this. I got to take care of him. And next day she rose up healed. And she had that once before. She knew what was coming, you know. Sometimes you know what's coming and you think, oh, no. But it's like, no, I can't. Lord, I can't afford this. I remember hearing a lady on, I don't even know what it was anymore. This lady said, I don't have time for this. It's just like, it's like, lady, whether you got time for it or not, you're going through it. But sometimes love, my point there is that love demands another level of faith. You know, like for her, well, I can't lay down here. Love demanded the release of faith. So it's a good thing. So in pursuing love, it actually keeps us in a place we've got to have faith for others. I know early on as a pastor, I came to realize I had there's no place, no room for any sin, because someone might call me 2 minutes later and need the prayer of faith. You can't pray a prayer of faith when you got, you know, sin condemning you. And I'm not talking about big sins, I'm talking about just little things. I made a decision right there. I don't have time for this. I don't have a place for this. Because love requires something different. Sometimes people give themselves the leeway to not to cop an attitude, not have to force themselves to walk in love. But really, to abide in the Spirit, you don't give yourself that. It's like, I'm determined, I'm going to stay in you. You need it for yourself, but love puts this demand on you beyond all of that. To be in that place. Well, I'm just reviewing. In Hebrews 9, he gives us a conclusion what to do. Then it goes on in chapter 10, in the chapter 11, what's called the faith chapter, but it's not a faith chapter, it's a continuation. And Hebrews 10:38 says, the just shall live by faith. We live our life depending on the Lord, trusting him in all things at all times. No matter what we're going to go through, the just shall live by faith. There's life in God, life through Jesus Christ. But those who've received him, whose eyes are upon him, are going to live trusting in him and see the victory. So he goes on into Hebrews chapter 11 and brings various testimonies of people who obeyed God. They had their struggles. They had their issues. Like our father of faith, Abraham took 25 years to receive the miracle promise of the son, but he got it. And through him, all the nations of the earth be blessed. We have those testimonies to encourage us. And our testimony amongst each of us, it serves to encourage one another. Because Jesus, who is alive, did this in my life. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He'll do for you. Yes. Well, we proceed up chapter 12. This is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. I'm just going to give a little overview because I can do hours on any of these verses, actually. But in chapter 12, he speaks of us running a race, looking unto Jesus. This is what I want to focus on, keeping our eyes on him, the author and finisher of our faith. Our faith begins with what he did, and it's finished by his high priestly ministry. When we approach him in prayer and receive that answer from the Lord, it's finished, it's done. He's a finisher of our faith, his high priestly ministry. It's the finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Oh, there's so much here. He's really addressing discouragement here in particular. The sin that was so easily beset you is discouragement. That can come very easily upon you, and it comes by ceasing to look at him and who he is in light of your situation. And getting eyes off of him and on that which is going on around you, and you can begin to get discouraged. But we run with patience or perseverance. You persevere. This is a long race, not a little sprint. This is a marathon. It's our life's likened to a race. And the way you do it is looking unto Jesus, keeping your eyes on him. And it says in chapter 4, chapter 2, he was tested in every way we are, yet without sin. So as we're going through various trials, tests, temptations, whatever it is you would encounter, Jesus already faced the same thing in principle, overcame it, and is the victory. And because of that, we have access to victory. Now, sometimes you need to know, Lord, what do I do? The wisdom of God in the midst of the trial. What do I do? Well, he'll show you. Well, I prayed and I waited 5 minutes and didn't get an answer. Sometimes you have to wait and wait upon him. It's one of the things that's becoming a lost art. You know, letter writing has become a lost art. Yeah, Brother Pop still writes letters by hand. Now you get like he's two sentence, broken up sentences, stuff on emails or whatever. To me, that's a detriment. It's nice to have that convenience to communicate. But if we don't learn to really communicate and write, that's not good. So in the learning to write, where was I going with that there? Oh, yeah. Thank you. I lost my train there. You have that art of writing, but then there's the art, say, of waiting on the Lord and listening. And one of the things that's really bad in our society, there's so much noise, image, noise, noise, image, noise, 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 that people aren't quiet to listen to the Lord. Now, being quiet to hear him, you have to not just not have noise around you, but you need to shut the noise out that's inside of you, like worry and fear and things of that nature, and learn just to listen. That's like sort of one of my favorite times of the day, listening to the Lord. And it's really wise to do that at the beginning. You know, so it's best if you can just wake up naturally, no alarm. Wait on the Lord, lay there a little bit. And maybe do it a little differently, it's fine. It's not a set way to do this. But the thing is, we need to hear him. We need to wait upon him. It's so important. So we run this race looking to Jesus. We look to his word. We look to hear from him. And he had endured the cross, despising the shame. That endurance was not... He had a body just like us. He suffered. He was in pain through it all. But he endured for the joy set before him. And that joy was the fact that a new family is going to be born. Now, when I share this, I like to always share the fact that a woman in childbirth, you go through some pain, but you forget about it because the joy of having that child, the joy of having that child's worth it all. It's worth it all. To bring forth new life's worth it all. And for Jesus to bring forth life out of death, a family to his heavenly Father, to bring forth a family was worth it all. And he counted the cost of that going in. So he had joy because doing the will of the Father and what the Father was wanting to produce was all born of love and would express the love of God. And that gave him great joy moving through all this. Well, moving ahead, we need to consider him, keeping our eyes on him. He brings forth the exhortation about receiving correction from the Heavenly Father. This is all in context. It's not like a change of subject. The Father loves those who he chastens. If you refuse it, the word bastards used, it's tend in English used more as a curse, but it's actually a fatherless child. So you have no correction. We need correction. As I was pondering this morning, this thought came to my mind that, you know, when you have a child, the first thing you teach them is love. And you're doing it constantly, feeding them, nursing them, all of that. But the second major thing is authority. You're the authority. And they learn the word no. Little word with big implications. No. No. And you begin to impose your authority. But then what transitions, you have another child, and some of you maybe another and another, another child, and the big area of dealing with your children is walking in love. Right, parents? Think about this. Most of our correction after they're out of infancy stage was correcting them to walk in love. And if you correct a small child relative to selfishness and teach them to walk in love, then they'll be able to flow as an adult really well because they've already learned that. That's part of them, how you treat people. And it's not all about you. It's a problem for an only child. The problem is it's all about them. Everything's centered around them. And some parents make a grave mistake that they build their whole life around their kids. And then wonder why they end up a certain way. Well, it's not all about them and making them happy, but rather what's, you know, like the balance of life that God would see in his word. So he corrects us, and what I'm going to get to is going to lead to these next couple verses here. In the times that are really, as evil waxes worse and worse, your temptation to love walk sin is going to increase. You see, people can think of like a storm, like just being, well, there'll be something bad over here, a bomb falls there, or whatever. But you get people in a desperate condition, the best and the worst are going to come out of them. If it's believers, they'll share what they have. If it's unbelievers, they may steal what you have. They may rob, loot, kill, and all that. And we see that kind of stuff going on today. It's like, well, that's far away. Well, you go to most major cities in the United States, you can find that kind of carrying on. And, you know, with that, people just giving into their flesh, you know, it's a really A lot of things can be around us or happen. And if we don't learn to walk in love, walk in love is a broad term, but particularly forgive, bear with people, believing God that even though some are doing some bad things, they can be saved. God's conviction power can begin to come upon them. That's, you know, a way we take what the enemy means for evil and turn it for good. Wow, my time's slipping away here. I didn't get to what I want to get to yet. I won't keep you 2 hours, though. Don't be concerned. We really need to walk in love in a greater way as things are happening around us. And, you know, there's hardly a time we go out and ride, somebody doesn't fly through a parking lot fast or cut you off in a lane, traffic, and give you the finger, and all kind of stuff. And the temptations just in that, you know, just stuff like that can be increasing. But when you have things like looting and stealing and all that, we're going to have to walk in love. And Paul said to them that even though there was, you took the spoiling of your goods, chapter 10, joyfully. In other words, they robbed you, did a carjacking, and then come take your house with a squatter. I'm just paraphrasing in some present day issues. You still have the joy of the Lord. There's only one way that can be, is by the love of God being what's practiced and lived. So in light of the increase of things around us, it's more imperative that we really exercise ourselves in the love of God. And the Father will correct you in that. Amen. When we go down, drop down here, he says, pursue or follow peace with all men, verse 14, and holiness, without which no man will see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, many are defiled. Follow peace or pursue it. It's what we pursue after peace, with people, and holiness, without which no man will see the Lord. Now, many times when people read something like that, they think, oh, is it talking about losing my salvation? No, that's not what it's talking about. Because in the beginning of the chapter, he's talking about we run our race looking unto Jesus. And we'll see this as it goes on. But what happens if we allow love walk sin or just things that are contrary to our walk with God, holiness, if we allow that, it creates like a cloud. You can't really behold him. You're not going to see him. And I liken that to you get in your car and you go out to drive and there's a heavy fog and you can't see the road. Do you ever get in like a heavy, heavy fog? You can't see anything, or a whiteout snowstorm. You can't see anything. Now you're still on the road for a while. You're still on the road, but you can't see. And the thing is, if we allow any love walk sin or things that would be defiling to us, what happens, we're blinded. We can't really behold him. And you're only going to successfully navigate this life, your journey, especially in these end times, by keeping your eyes on Jesus. In other words, somebody can get like something happen. They have unforgiveness. And that's all they can see. How do you know that, Pastor Bolt? Because it's all they talk about. I've encountered people already. I mean, they'll bring up something happened 20 years ago, 30 years ago, like it was yesterday. They relive it. But God wants to cleanse us. He wants our minds to be set free from tormenting thoughts as well. And what happens if you say, well, they are wrong, I'm justified to feel this way, you'll never release it. Jesus did not do that to you, nor will he ever do that to you. If you come, he'll forgive, he'll release it. I forgive you. And that's part of the love walk. It's not the only part, but it's part of it. That what happens if we don't live that way, it's like he's obscured to us. But in this new covenant, we can see him clearly. And we see how we are to be by looking at him. He's the epitome of faith, epitome of hope, the epitome of love, particularly in going to die for us. We see the depths of the love of God there, because he didn't sin, but he did it in joy for the Father's will to be done, whereby a family is procured. Looking diligently, we had to really watch, be watchful, carefully watch over this. Now, when you have a young child, most parents carefully watch him. If you have a brand new Corvette, which I've never had that, but you really watch it. Yeah, nobody's like banging their car door into yours in the parking lot, because they're always parked out, like way out. And the beater cars are all close to the store, jammed together, because they're watching over this thing. I told my wife already, don't buy me stuff that's like cream colored or white. Because as sure as the sun comes up tomorrow, I'll spill something on it and stain it. I guess I just have to watch a little more close. But we need to be very diligent and watchful lest we fall from grace. Now, the word grace has varied meanings, and it speaks to the favor of God. Depending on the context, it can speak of the gifting of God to do something, but also in Strong's Concordance, it defines grace as God's influence on your heart. Yes. And there's various places of Scripture. That's the right application here. And what happens if we allow our heart to start to harden, we there's like a cloud goes up, or there's no more influence on us. Now, again, I would just use as an example, what's it take to evoke some compassion in us? What's it take, you know, to stir you to do something for the Lord, whatever it might be? We need the grace of God, godly influence. And when it comes to, like, condemning people for their sins, if you had not have some godly influence in your life, any one of us would be capable of any sin. Always remember that you see some sin that you really hate. Jesus hated sin. We should hate sin. Okay, but when you see that apart from godly influence, I could be doing the same thing, because there's flesh in the flesh. And that helps you stay humble and to stay available to reach out to someone who's had little godly influence. There's a lot of people, they don't know certain things are wrong. They weren't taught. But once they receive Christ, then they begin to change and begin to hunger for those things. Well, we need to look diligently, lest a root of bitterness springing up trouble you. And this is where I'm linking this back when I was talking about walking in love with all of it, that a root of bitterness can spring up, or something starts as a seed, and it's under the ground, and when it's watered, a root forms and begins to grow out. Be careful with seeds, and don't plant bad seeds in other people. You know what? You hear about this person, you hear about them, just a lot better tell you. Yeah. No, we don't even know. Okay. There's faults and flaws in everyone. But if you're going to talk about everyone else's faults and flaws, you're going to be watering seeds that could produce bitterness in people. And the thought, if we don't forgive instantly, you can begin to pick that up towards someone else when they do something that really hurts you or someone you love, and it springs up. It says, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. And we're speaking of him being profane, that in Greek is speaking to the fact that there's a lack of humility there, and you can't see yourself properly. We see ourselves in the light of who he is. And that will humble you. See, humbling is not something we try to do outwardly, but rather we're humbled as we're truly seeing him, we're humbled. And we won't, you know, we'll see things right. And he says, afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. He found no place for repentance, so he sought it carefully. But you're not come. He goes on speaking of the Israelites coming to the mountain, and God spoke to Moses, and the very mountain was shaking and smoking. He says, you're not come to that, but that was fearful for them. But we're come to Mount Zion, verse 22, the city of God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly, to the church firstborn. And what he's speaking to is here, don't get your eyes on what you're going through. Look at what you're going to. And that which we're going to is so great. And we can truly then with our life say it was worth it all. Just as a mother birthing a baby with all the pains and so forth is worth it all for that new life. And we live our life for the Lord. We live our life forgiving those who've hurt you, pressing on through, persevering with every challenge that we would face. But it's worth it all because we're coming. What's before us is heaven, the church, Jesus waiting for us, the angels of God in heaven, and you're carrying with you testimony of that would glorify Jesus Christ forever and ever. So as we have our eyes on Jesus for what we're going through here, he's already overcome it. And we have our eyes on that which we're going to in heaven. We'll continue to persevere with victory and continue to draw upon the very grace of God that would sustain us in going through and taking us through. Godly influence upon our heart. Let me pray. Father, I thank you for your word. Father, I pray that you just continue to bring revelation and impartation today of strength. Father, we be strengthened on ahead of whatever we would encounter. And Father, we go joyfully into our future, joyfully forward. We thank you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus.